CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, business on all the major continents, transforming the retail space with digital signage. We go to Eurasia, where there are two wars, and we go to the China part of Eurasia because there are big plans, according to the Financial Times, for the People's Republic of China, led by the Chinese Communist Party, led by Xi, to dig their way or to blast their way or to crawl their way out of the hole of the real estate credit bubble that has now made a pall over all of China, driving young people to emigrate in emergency through the Darien Gap and rocking the grasp that China has on the future, the presumptive that they are the rising power. Chris, a very good evening to you. The article in the FT includes a number of trenchant quotes about China's plans. I want to summarize and see if it's correct because you have business in China. The idea from Xi is that they're going to use their superior manufacturing technology to win markets in the high end. That would be EVs and microchips, etc. And that will offset the credit bubble that they can't pay for in real estate. In other words, they're going to manufacture their way out of their troubles. Does that make sense to you, given what you observe in China about the unemployment, about the desperation for orders, about the slowdown? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This is a classic case of centralized economy and central planning, where Mr. Xi's statement that we're going to manufacture our way out of this is great. The challenge there is that the customer has a vote. And from the consumer side, with the global consumer continuing to slow because of high interest rates, higher default levels, many points of debt in that consumer's lives, China can manufacture all they want. But if there's no one there to buy the product, you have a challenge. Mr. Xi has a huge liquidity problem. That liquidity problem, as he's now soliciting new business from U.S. CEOs and trying to bring more money into China, is not easily solved. The real question is, can he increase the liquidity and get China back on a stable footing before the housing bubble fully pops?
This is a remark from London. Olivia Cheung and Professor Steve Tsang, academics at SOAS University of London. Xi seeks to strengthen China's economic strength through innovation by any means necessary and to reduce its economic vulnerability to potential Western sanctions. I think that's a long way around, commenting the political thought of Xi Jinping, a long way around of saying they're going to deal with the challenges when they come, but we know the tariffs are going to be thick and heavy if we start dumping EVs and microchips and solar panels. They're already dumping EVs and microchips and solar panels. The tariffs are coming. Von der Leyen of the European Commission made a trip to Beijing in which she warned them, we're going to retaliate this time. We learned our lesson. Is she listening, Chris?
I think she's watching the economic numbers to say China has an unfair advantage in competition because of government sponsorship of many of the businesses, whether that's directly government-owned, government-subsidized. China is very, very, very capable at that mid-tier of manufacturing, whether that be microchips or automobiles or other. Where China does not excel is the high tier. China cannot compete with TSMC for chip making. China cannot compete with Boeing or Airbus for airplanes or Tesla for direct automobile. So Mr. Xi seeks to climb that ladder to top tier, but you cannot do that in an isolated adversarial environment where IP is not protected. You have to do that on a global stage, and China's not yet embraced things such as IP protection on the global stage, so they'll always stay at that second tier until they open up.
And the BYD that they've been boasting about, electric vehicles, China doesn't appear, the central planning of China doesn't appear to be sensitive to the thing you already identified, the consumer. The consumer, what is that? Fisker electric vehicle looks like on its way to failure. They now are slashed the price of their one vehicle by up to 50-60%. Tesla, there's a hesitation even at Tesla's level. But the BYD, the piles of them that are coming in to Europe and the U.S., there's no demand here. And it appears that China's thinking that This is a magic weapon that we're going to win back our customer base because we're cheaper. That is not marketing. That is the kind of thing you think if you're not held accountable, that there's no bottom line, which is a long way of saying they're all subsidized.
And John, this is another kind of challenge within that Chinese system of Mr. Xi has absolute command and control in China. So that creates a brittleness of not listening to the customer, not understanding the market, the economics. BYD as a product might sell in Argentina and Brazil, but will it ever meet U.S. safety standards? Will it ever meet the requirements for road standards here? Likely not. So will you ever see Texans who drive F-150s using a BYD? Probably not. So in that footprint of Mr. Xi commanding, hey, you will do this, they're going to say, sir, yes, sir, and go in that direction. But that's not necessarily what the market requires or even wants.
An example, Geely Motors bought Volvo some years ago. They just announced ballyhooed that they've manufactured their last fossil fuel driven Volvo SUV or sedan. Volvo is high end, and the only explanation I can imagine is they've been ordered to stop the production of fossil fuel driven Volvos because there's no customer clamor for an electric vehicle out of Volvo. None whatsoever. There are not enough charging stations to match that thing. Geely is a sophisticated actor. I'm guessing, Chris, was he ordered? Is that what it looks like?
100%. So, John, in China, the Chinese government over the last 3-4 years has mandated charging stations everywhere throughout the country. China does not have natural oil supply, but they generate electric with nuclear and with coal in abundance. So Mr. Xi inside of China has made the hard cut to say you will drive electric vehicles because it's easier for the Chinese economy to do that. And as you have more and more people buying cars, that methodology works when you can order it and have a state-sponsored or state-directed program. But you can't do that in Mexico, in Canada, in the United States, in the EU. You have to be competitive. The enemy always has a vote, and a Toyota or a Honda is not necessarily going to align to that, and the infrastructure is not there to support electric cars in the same way it is in China.
Coming home to Europe and America, not just about electric vehicles, about all the manufacturing from China. Right now, the rates have been increasingly in the news when and if the Federal Reserve is going to reduce rates. There's a report from the Philadelphia Fed that manufacturing is ticking up and that the restrictions that the manufacturers see are, one, adequate employees still searching for people, and two, the interest rates. Do you see struggle finding people, Chris, or has the employment picture lessened?
John, so think of that employment picture as a pendulum swinging back and forth. In the peak of the pandemic, the pendulum swung far to the left where you could not get employees or could not get the proper skills almost at any cost or at any point. Now the pendulum is swinging back towards greater availability in the skilled services. For every job we post, we may get 500 or 1,000 resumes, where at pandemic we'd get one. But in the low-skilled or unskilled areas, hospitality, food service, general retail, there's still a lack of people who wish to work going into that segment, even though there's requirements and lots of job opportunities.
And your customer base, you have all kinds, but I'm keen on the franchises. Are they feeling the interest rates? Have they slowed down their capital investment? Are they cutting back on employees? Do you see all that?
They're absolutely looking at points of automation for the businesses to take cost out. In retail, that's things like self-checkout. In QSR, that's self-order kiosks and other points of order automation to remove labor from those locations. The challenge that you see in many of the franchise environments, those franchisees that might have been capital unstable have really gotten hammered with the high interest rates, and you're seeing lots of defaults in that sector.
And finally, Chris, checking on one more thing, the interest rate environment. Wall Street keeps going back and forth. Are you seeing people right now counting on the interest rate cuts? In other words, are they guessing third quarter, second quarter, or is everybody still keeping their money in their pockets?
there's lots of speculation of decrease, and Mr. Powell saying three cuts this year is certainly trying to frame that in. However, I don't know that some of these businesses can withstand, even with three cuts, the higher rates than they were 3, 4, 5 years ago. So many businesses are still very much on the edge.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, business on all the continents, transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Bachelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bachelor.